Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.
I don't know what it is about that piece of music, but it just touches me so deeply and causes me to go inside, which I think is a big part of this week's show's background theme, going inside, going inwards, not always looking outside of ourselves for validation, but instead listening to the still, quiet voice within, however you might frame that. And one of the most interesting characters that I've come across, probably the very first person I read about the inner journey at the age of 16, would you believe, was Carl Gustav Jung. He was probably, if anyone, the great inventor of alternative medicine and New Age thinking and a broad spirituality. Jung himself trained with Sigmund Freud, but I think the rigidity of Freud and Freud's reductionism of everything to a kind of very sexual nature frustrated Jung, and he stepped away. It was his kind of breaking away from the father. Freud was his father figure, and so it was a big process for him. And many, many psychotherapists go through a kind of family relationship with their teachers and trainers, and the euhemerus, is the, use an old-fashioned Greek word, the euhemerus, which is like the founder of an approach. Freud was a euhemerus, for example. But the idea that we kind of have a attachment to people and teachers and whatever is very common. And I'm going to talk about what that involves in terms of transference a little bit later on. But just for now, talking about Jung, he broke away from Sigmund Freud. And one of the reasons he broke away is because he was driven to a more spiritual journey, a journey of deep awareness of what he called a collective unconscious, as if we're all interlinked. And this was before any of the quantum theories or field theories that emerged in the last 20 years or so regarding our interconnectedness. And Jung, I think, was right there. Jung wrote about so many subjects. I've got a book of his right here, and I'm just looking through his bibliography. He had a really powerful concept of the anima and the animus, the feminine and the masculine within each and every one of us. And you're probably aware of that, but he was the guy who really pushed that forward and spoke about this inner society, this inner nation that we carry inside our own psyches, many, many people. And this has been an idea that many modern systems have now drawn upon and are using. He was into mandalas, he was into rebirth, he was into alchemy, he was into symbolism, he even talked about Christian symbolism. There's so much that this man was interested in, and such an interesting guy. But I know many people who were inspired by Carl Gustav Jung. And this idea that we talk about our need for partners and, you know, men needing women and women needing men. And even within single sex relationships, very often one partner takes on the more masculine role and another takes on the more feminine role. And likewise, in heterosexual relationships, it's not dictated who assigns what role. If we think about the idea of structure as a kind of masculine quality, a kind of yang quality, which is what Jung was very interested in, the symbolism of Tai Chi and the I Ching and various Eastern approaches and Eastern mystical ideas. So within all relationships, we have a balance of the masculine structure, the yang, and the feminine flow, which is the yin. The yin is often regarded as more inner and the yang more outer. But different cultures and different people and different relationships all have very different balances of these. But it's a very interesting way to look at ourselves. If we go inwardly, how much do we allow a kind of flowing, free-flowing yin kind of feminine flow, like the water, what Renita talked about so much? And how much do we allow for the strong defining structure that is needed by us? Or we all need both. And Jung talked about these kind of inner characters as archetypes, that they were shared by all of us, that we all need the inner feminine and we all need the inner masculine. And I think it's very interesting not to be dependent on the outside. We live out our lives out in the world, but we also live out our lives in the inner world. And much of today's show, I think, has been about how do we access that inner world? And different traditions have different approaches. And it's really interesting when we think about Christian traditions that focus on the external Bible, that focus on following rules and all of that, and how many of the Eastern religions became so attractive to so many people, as if, now we can learn to go in, sit in meditation, breathe, tune in to your heart. But of course, what was amazing for me was to discover that all of that was already there in Christianity. It's just that different expressions of Christianity have focused on external behaviors. But in fact, within Christianity, the fundamental concept is that whatever we do out there cannot earn God's love. It's God's grace and God's love that fills us because it's there for us. So this is very close to Eastern mysticism. And so I think, you know, within Christianity, there are strong meditational traditions. So regardless of religion, I think the truth is all religions and all spiritual quests revolve around this balance between inner and outer. And I recommend reading Carl Gustav Jung's writings. He's a beautiful writer, very thoughtful, very profoundly spiritual man. He wrote a beautiful introduction. The first I came across him was he wrote an introduction to the I Ching. I was wondering, what is this I Ching and flicking sticks around the place? And so I bought the book, The I Ching, thinking I was going to be opening up about, you know, Oriental kind of mysticism. And Jung, the introduction was written by Carl Gustav Jung, a Westerner, and he really, you know, he really talked about the spirituality, synchronicity. He was there in the 1950s and 40s, even in the 30s. He was well ahead of the game, and I love to read pioneering characters. So that's Carl Gustav Jung for you, you know, and he's written a book on dreams. That's a bit heavy going, actually. Have an explore, see what grabs your attention. So the second subject I wanted to talk about today was this idea that the inner world gets acted out in our outer world. So the simple idea is it's really about how we dump on each other, how we, without intending to, often unconsciously, we just kind of react to people in ways that are not necessarily very creative or productive. You know, if you find someone keeps winding you up, or you find yourself in repetitive kind of conflicts with certain people, it's very likely that what's happening is they are triggering some trauma based on bad experiences with people in your past. And that could be right in your immediate family. Someone reminds you of a bullying brother. Maybe it's the tone of voice, maybe it's the body language, maybe it's the looks themselves, or maybe it's just a couple of phrases they use that you just don't like, and you find yourself skyrocketing into a reaction, you know, instant escalation into rage or fury or sadness and victimhood, wherever you go, you know, and you don't know why it keeps happening with that individual. Well, we call that in the trade of psychotherapy, we call that transference and countertransference. We call what the client gets hooked into with the therapist transference, and we call what the therapist gets hooked into with the client countertransference. And whole books are written about the different types. But fundamentally, one very simple way to look at it, and I think I mentioned this in the interview, is to ask ourselves, who is this person reminding me of? Who are they like? And it won't be in your conscious mind. It requires reflection. You have to sit down quietly and think, what is it that this person reminds me of? And particularly, who in my family of origin are they most like? Do they say or behave in a similar way? And then you're talking about transference, whether it's, you know, we don't need to use countertransference or transference when it comes to everyday life, because it's going on all the time. It's not just psychotherapists who get reactions to their clients or clients that get reactions to their therapists. Any engagement is going to involve transference, or we could call it projection. you know, I project onto someone I know the picture of my mother or my father. And I find myself behaving in ways that are not really kind of equal. I feel put down or I feel reactive. And so the real key to this conversation is about how do we break away from dumping our own past history and our own past shit, basically, on the people around us. Well, it comes down to reflection, sitting quietly and asking yourself, I'm having problems with this person. Just sit quietly, maybe even have a piece of paper and just say, who is this one reminding me of? Alternatively, you can look at the way I react to this person. Does it remind me of the way I reacted to anyone in my family of origin? And so first you identify who it is. And I do this with my psychotherapy students who I supervise all the time. Identify the projection. Once you identify it, and it's often quite a revelation, actually, and you realize that you're playing out an old tape or record from your past, the real trick is to then find out how they are different and start to feed information into your own psyche, into the part of you that's reacting, that is saying, yeah, I know you had a tough time with your mom or your brother or whatever it was. This person is different because they dress in blue. they grew up in Alaska. They speak differently. And this person is someone who, you know, doesn't do this type of thing. So you start to write down all the differences between this person that you're reacting to and the person who you reacted to back in your childhood. So this is a real good tip for life, though. It's not about therapy and it's not about clients, although that's where I learned about it. And again, you're letting all parts of your interior world know that the situation is different from how you've been reacting. You're sending a powerful message to your whole body, every cell in your body, and every part of your psyche. And if that doesn't crack it, and you still keep reacting, then it's probably time to get some help with that person and go and see a psychotherapist and say, I need help sorting out my shit with this person because I'm always reacting, you know. And that's a really good way to reach out. And it's a very clear contract as well. You don't have to stay in therapy for 45 years. That could be cleared probably in one session or two, who knows. So that's just some suggestion really around transference and projection and dumping on each other. And the reason I'm talking about this is because if we all took responsibility for our own issues and stopped dumping on each other, life would be rather beautiful. What do you think? Write in and tell me what you think about this. And of course, this dovetails, doesn't it, beautifully into the Jungian internal archetypes, because it's about our internal world. And it's as if we hold within us many, many different elements, like a whole society of beings that we are the governor of, that we are the person who must look after them. So we take responsibility for ourselves instead of moaning and complaining about everything out there and them doing stuff for us, rather than us doing stuff for ourselves. And when you take that journey into taking care and managing and, in a sense, becoming the ruler of your own self, when you reach that point, then your interactions with others become so much more smooth and gentle and, in many ways, less needy and less demanding. Just like asking ourselves, am I accessing my more flowing kind of yin nature, my more feminine nature? Or am I accessing my more yang or masculine or structural nature? And there's a flow between those two. And you can choose, we can all choose, right now I need structure. And we might also say, right now, I need a bit of flow. If you listen to Natalie Cutler-Walsh's interview from last week, this is exactly what she was describing. She talked about dialing up certain elements of her psyche and dialing down others according to the need. And finally, my last little tip for everyone. hard learned, hard won, and massively not done in a great deal of my life. Instead of reacting, take a step back, count to 10, breathe, go walk in the bush, and ask yourself, what is the outcome I wish for from this transaction or my transactions with this individual? What outcome do I wish for? Now, that is very different from proving yourself right or proving them wrong. I get it. Oh, I love to be right. Sometimes I prefer to be right than in a healthy relationship, and that's really sad. Oh, dear. I want to walk around with a T-shirt that says on the front, I hate to say this. That's what it would say on the front. I hate to say this. And on the back, I wanted to say, but I told you so. That's the righteous indignation T-shirt. Yeah. Anyone who does T-shirts should go and do it. A couple of nice pictures for that would be funny. However, especially if it makes fun of it, you know, because we have to laugh at this stuff, because who would rather be right than in healthy relationship? What is the outcome I want? Now, if it's someone I don't really like very much, I'm not going to be too bothered. But if it's someone I deeply care about, then this is where we talk about so often on my program about building the bridges. If you've got an ostrich across the other side of the chasm, sticking its head in the soil, which is probably the best picture I have for the vast majority of humankind at the moment. If you're trying to reach out to an ostrich with its head stuck in the ground, there's no point just kind of telling it it's wrong. And there's no point sitting on your side of the chasm, waiting for them to build a bridge to you. They don't even know there isn't a bridge there. They've got their head in the bloody ground, all right? It's going to come down to you. I know. It would be so nice if it was all done by them, wouldn't it? But this is about stepping up and using all the trauma and all the challenges of these days and the last few years. This is about using all that to raise our vibration. And it comes down to us to reach across with a gentle bridge, throwing a rope across the chasm. Hopefully you hit them so they bring their head out and they say, oh, here's a rope. And they start pulling on it. And then you build a bridge together and you do some good stuff together. You start doing things with people, not talking about your differences. Start doing shared activities. If you share an activity, whether it's a gardening activity or it's a outdoor activity, whatever it is, focus on the shared experience that the two of you can do together, playing a sport together. All of this is really important. And if you align the body energy and you align the activity and the doing, it's far more likely that there will be an opening to conversation. The head will come out of the ground. You know, the ostrich head will pop out and they'll go, oh my goodness, here's a friend. Here's someone. And I have been a bit worried. You know, the reason I stuck my head in the ground is because I heard rumors of war. And we go, yeah. We've been struggling with that too. Find your commonality. And I know this doesn't get you across every relationship rupture. I absolutely understand that. But ask yourself, what do I need to do to step up to build the bridge? Because they are never going to build the bridge. The people that have, the ostriches who haven't yet got their heads out of the sound, they don't even know there is a need for a bridge. You do. You've been facing this horror story for years, many of you listening. And bless you for that. That means all the trauma has been sitting on your shoulders. That's why you're suffering. And not only do you have to be the one who saw it when no one else did, but you also have to be the one to see there's the need for a bridge that needs to be built. And think of the outcome of that. What would be a good outcome? What picture can you hold for yourself of rebuilding and finding a new relationship or a repaired relationship? We call it rupture and repair. What have you done for repair? Can you do any more? And if you can't, leave it. If there's no more you can do, then you can do no more. It's that simple. Move on. But I think these times can be transformed into an opportunity for our inner growth and a strengthening of our wisdom and a greater and deeper understanding of our interactions with other humans. Do write in and tell me what you think. So now we're going to move on and get Renita back for Music with Meaning. And to get us out of the reflective mode and into the jive, into the dance, into the music, and hopefully a fair amount of movement for everyone, let's launch into Music with Meaning, the third part of this show, with the Doobie Brothers. Listen to the music.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.